So here's what we'll try to do. So last year we started this. So I'll give a brief introduction for those that are just joining us now. And we're going to pick it up from Perek Yud Ches, that's 18, and which is Os Lamed, because it's the order of Aleph Beis. So this is the topic of Lamed for Leitzanus. Leitzanus is a little bit hard to translate into English. Usually it's translated here, it's translated in our scroll as mockery, but we'll try to discuss that. So let's take a
That's
step
a good
back.
article work.
We could maybe even come up with a better art score word than that, you know. But all right, so let's get ourselves caught up. What is this paper? Who wrote it? What's the goal? What are we trying to do? We're learning it. So the author of the paper was Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Chassad of Kaddish Lavar Chayil. So it's a fairly new paper because of that, but it's really not new at all because the way that he wrote the paper is really just a collection of sources on every single topic. So it's not really his ideas and his angles, other than the fact that he's the one that selected what he wants to present. Yeah. So in terms of the angles or the interpretation, there isn't heavy duty interpretation here. So what Reb Chaim was trying to do is just present us with the official Torah position, relative or relevant to our times, on any particular topic that he wants to address and discuss. I don't have the expertise to tell you how exhaustive it is. He could have, but that's what he does, is that
Did
he
you come
takes the
speak to our
topic.
share?
What?
You want to come like speak to our share?
Would he have?
Yeah.
You would have to go to him. You know, he sat and learned all day, anything. Okay. So if you have any questions on that, so first of all, you'll get a little bit of a gist as we go. Yudchet relates on us. It's Os Lamed relates on us.
Oh, okay. It is.
Okay, you have it? Oh, another wet man. Yeah.
Is it pouring?
Is it pouring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. But I don't. I think it's really good. It's
You want me to take a look on the PDF?
not. Hey, but
Let's take
that's
a
pigs
look.
too. So how do I know if
If you
pigs
look at the
lay?
table of contents in the very beginning, table of contents says, Leitanus is page Resh Yud Aleph.
Race, you know
Resh Yud Aleph, which is, I don't know, 211, but it's 211. Where do you see it here? No, for that. Back. Back. Okay. Yeah, 106 in the PDF. 106 on the PDF on the left side. Good?
Yeah.
All right. I am going to be using the art scroll, so but it should all be more or less the same. Okay. So let's see what he does. I unfortunately didn't have time to prepare, so we'll be learning it together. The art scroll has some stories about each topic at the end, so there'll be Mirtz Hashem story time. We get through it. Some of them are longer, some of them are shorter. So the goal is just to do one a week. So if it's a really short one, then it'll be shorter. And I didn't mention the opposite. Yesh anashim she'onim lechavrayim b'derech lag v'leitzanus. There are people that respond to their friends in a manner of mockery and joking around. You notice that he uses two different words here, lag and leitzanus. So lag is actually to mock somebody else. That's actually to make a comment, to put something down. So if a person wants, you know, sometimes we hear things and we don't like it and we put it down for better or for worse. I do have a lot to say, but I'm going to leave all of the things I have to say aside because I want Reb Chaim to speak. So if you have any particular questions, feel free to ask. Otherwise, I'm just gonna read what he says. So sometimes people speak or respond to something that's said in a manner that makes fun of it. That's lag. Lag, I would translate as mocking it. And leitanus is to make a joke out of it. So is there like a subtle difference between the two, right?
Because to mock something is to put it down, usually in a like sarcastic way, maybe in a joking way. But you see Rechaim use two different words here, because he used one word lag to mock it, and Leitzanus to make a joke out of it. Begam, like Mayhem, and even great big people. It happens. Agava. And this comes from, you see how the two words he used? Mitipshus agava. Gaiva is what?
Arrogance.
Arrogance. Tipshus, what's tipesh?
Stupid.
Stupid. From the stupidity of arrogance. That's a beautiful phrase. Shechoshevim, shehema chachamim mikol ha'olam. Because these people that are responding in this mocking and joking way, they think that they are the wisest out of anyone in the world. But kamosha kol shote choshev, just like every idiot thinks. But kamosha kasev, like it says in the pasuk, this is a pasuk in Mishlei, which is translated as Proverbs from Shlomo HaMelech. So you see that there is a person that in his eyes is a sage, is a chacham. Tikva l'ksil mimenu. How do you translate tikva l'ksil mimenu? There is more hope for a fool than there is hope for him. Yeah, tikva, hope, l'ksil for a fool, mimenu than him. In other words, if
And the arrogant person.
right, that if a person thinks and he knows it all, who's going to help him? No one, because no one can actually tell him anything because he knows that. And no one can say anything that he doesn't know, and therefore he knows it all, and no one can ever correct him. Leitzanus, and he thinks that through this form of making a joke out of the issue, machazikim people, to be machazik something means already had like a certain status, and you're maintaining that status. So they're machazikim, they relate to him as if he is a chacham, right? Because obviously only a chacham, like he's obviously so smart and he can say that, right? That's what he thinks people are going to think when he does that, right? In Yodea, Shu Mamash Lehefech, he doesn't realize that it's exactly the opposite. Muvak Lishtus, it's actually one of the best signs that he's an idiot. As everybody knows. What does he mean? Let's just try to understand what he's saying. Let's make it real. You have, an issue that you're discussing with somebody. You think it's worthy of a conversation. You may go up to one of your friends for advice on it. And instead, he like laughs it off like it's the stupidest thing he ever heard. Right? This happens from time to time, no? And he thinks that you're going to realize that he obviously knows everything. That's why he can laugh it off because like he knows what's important or whatever, But really, if he was a real serious person, he would understand your feelings. He would understand the issue. And he would talk it out with you because, well, you're a human being. You deserve respect and you deserve to be spoken to correctly and respectfully, right? Respectfully. And you obviously are concerned about it. So let's talk it out. That's what should happen with a normal, wise, sensitive person. This person obviously is not. But he named Gemara, when the Gemara says, Talmud Chacham. And the way that he speaks is not benachas. How do you translate nachas? Relax, pleasant. Yeah, pleasantness. I have a sense of like, So if a person doesn't speak with pleasantness, im habrios, with other people, Hashem. It's a chil Hashem. And the only kapara he has, full atonement, is when he dies. Right? We discussed this when we discussed the Shittat Rambam, that there are four levels of tshuva. You remember in the Gemara, we just discussed chil Hashem, and I pointed out this Rambam, that the Rambam says that not every Avera has Chil Hashem. And the proof is, because the Rambam says that if a person does an Avera with Chil Hashem, he doesn't get full atonement until he dies. Because that's the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. No? Okay. We'll chaz for another time before the Bechina, yeah? And then quotes it. Okay, and so it's two Paskins, the Rambam, Haloi Gal Chaviro, and specifically, in particular, a person who mocks his friend. Sha'amru B'Gemara, where the Gemara says about such a person, I'll call a veir shabbat Torah Yom Kippur mechaper on all the sins in the Torah Yom Kippur atones for chutz mi'aloyeg al chaviro, except for a person that mocks his friend. Okay, so this is based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, which is Mamasha coming up soon, so we should know this, that the Mishnah makes a big deal out of this, that ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem ataris ben mechol katzav sechem lifnei Hashem. This is a pasuk that we quote repeatedly when it comes to Yom Kippur, and we're going to say it on Yom Kippur a bunch of times. Ki b'yom hazeh, on this day, yechaper aleichem, will atone for you, mikol chatoseichem, from all of your sins, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, titaru, you should be purified. There is a machlokas, how to read that pasuk. And I know it's hard to listen to it and not see it, but the gist of it is, where do you put the comma? This is the day that atones for all of your sins in front of Hashem. Comma. Purify yourselves. This is the day that atones for all of your sins. Comma. Purify yourself in front of Hashem. Where do you put in front of Hashem? If you put in front of Hashem at the end of the pasuk, it means purify yourselves in front of Hashem. How do you purify yourself in front of Hashem? What does it mean? Famous comment from Rabbi Akiva. Ashreichem Yisrael, Ashreichem, Ashreichem, Ashreichem Yisrael, Lifnei Mi'atim Adar Mi'atim Adar Estem. Before are you purifying yourself? Who purifies you? Kadosh Baruch Hu serves as a mikveh for Klal Yisrael. Lifnei Hashem titaru. That's how Rabbi Akiva understands that pasuk. The opinion before Rabbi Akiva says, no, it means that Yom Kippur only atones for all of the mitzvos that are between a person and Hashem. Doesn't atone for mitzvos bein adam l'chaveiro. Until what? Until the person goes to the person that he offended and asks for mechila, right? Asks for, you know, please forgive me. Yeah? So that's what he's quoting, or that's what he's referring to. This is a reference, a similar Gemara. The Gemara is saying that if you make fun of a person, Yom Kippur doesn't atone for that. No, it will atone for it if you ask for mechila. But it requires that you have to get his mechila first. Relatsanas ba'atzma, making a joke out of things on its own, afil alo davar hu avera gedola ma'od. Even if it's not anything, it's that's serious. It's like a trivial matter is a pretty big sin. Kamosha kasuv b'medrash, like it says in the medrash, ve'amru nichnas lalev davar shel leitzanas. If it enters into a person's heart, an item of just like laughing, of just ridiculousness. You know, let me make it clear. It leitzanus means to make a joke out of something. Yeah? Like, you know.
To make fun of it or just make a joke?
Yeah, so that's where we're gonna try to split hairs serious, a little bit because the line.
So here's, it's like validity, sort of.
Okay, so here's where there's a problem because there's gonna be a blurring of the boundary here. On the extremes, if it's just an innocent joke that doesn't hurt anybody or anything, great. You're supposed to make people happy. And in fact, Guarantinus tells us that there was a fellow that was walking with Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi, and he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, tell me somebody that's destined for the next world. And there were a bunch of people that were clowns. And he said, oh, they're destined for the next world. So he went up to them and he said, why you guys, Eliyahu just told them, these guys. So he went up to the guys and he said, what do you guys do? So they say, we're jesters, we're jokers, we're clowns. So he says, really? They say, yeah, you know, we make people happy. You know, we go to the hospitals, you know, we make people happy. So he says, oh, wow. So those are people destined to Olam Haba. Now that's joking around. But that is joking around that makes people happy, that puts people in the right mood that they can do Avodas Hashem. Beautiful. Beautiful. Very important. The other end of the spectrum is Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi on Har Carmel. So he made fun of the Avodah Zarah people. Yeah? That's one of the sources for the Gemara that's a mutter. That's an allowed form of leitzanos. Yeah? So do you remember the story? This is you know the playoffs? Playoffs? He was the Korbanovs. So he had all the priests of the Baal come to Har Carmel. And he said, okay, you guys, the majority, you go first. And the trick was you have to get the fire to come from heaven and take your sacrifice.
Wasn't this in
Malachi? Somebody did the summaries. And they were from morning until afternoon. They were doing the heebie-jeebie-hoo, and they were cutting themselves and all kinds of things and nothing doing. The Medrash says because there was the guy hiding under their altar with, like, you know, his match, and he got bit by a snake and died, and so it didn't work. So Eliyahu starts making fun of them. Scream louder. Maybe his hearing aids aren't working, you know? It's all bad, your God. It could be he's in the bathroom. You know, he makes fun of them. So I'll say that is a permitted form of leitzanos. Now, what Eliyahu HaNavi did was different than what a clown does. A clown does silly things that make people laugh. Eliyahu HaNavi was taking something that they valued and thought was important and devaluing it and making it worthless. Are you with me on that?
Yeah.
Eliyahu HaNavi's format, the way he did it, because it's Avodah Zarah and evil and bad, that's allowed. But to take the way that he did it and apply that to something that actually has value, that's terrible, terrible, and that's called leitzanos. Okay, now let's take that a step further. What do you mean? Meaning that if a person If something is actually valuable, a person has feelings, a person has a question, a person, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, a person thinks that something is silly, but to another person is very much not, very important to him. And he could, we could discuss it, you know, we could discuss why I think it's valuable and you think it's not, or whatever, we can discuss it. That's normal. That's how people are supposed to behave. Instead, the person makes a joke out of it. So I will give you an example that I always give. A friend of mine who was Shunabet when I was Shunalef and Reshit. So Adam Ingham there, he became a principal or something after, I think, for a while. I don't know what he's doing now. And he was teaching at the time. And there's one of the boys in the class that, you know, okay, he's a little off, whatever it is. And the other kids in the class apparently didn't treat him right. So the boy wasn't there that day, went to the bathroom, whatever. And Rabbi Engler took the opportunity to give mussar to the class. I don't know exactly what he said, but you can imagine. You know, listen, this is how he is. You have to be sensitive, you know, whatever he said. The class clown, who sits in the back, because after the class clown always sits, right? He raises his hand. He has something to say, right? So he didn't let him talk. The kid was like, "But Rabbi, be quiet! But Rabbi, shut up! All right!" He wouldn't let him open his mouth. Okay, so let's, in our imaginary land, let's imagine what really could have happened, right? So the class clown raises his hand and he calls on him, right? And the class clown says, "But Rebbe, he's a doofus." And doofus sounds funny, and everyone's like, and the whole class breaks out into laughter, right? Okay, what happens to the message that Rabbi Engler was trying to impart?
It has no effect.
It's nuts. It doesn't make any sense. You with me? This is a psychological truth. It doesn't make any sense. There was no kasha he asked on Rabbi Englander. There was no proof he brought against Rabbi Englander. There was nothing. All he did was make a joke out of the topic, and it prevents it from sinking in. The way the Masil Asisharm says it, you know, the olden days, they used to shoot arrows at people. Yeah, before gunpowder. And how did you protect yourself from an arrow? Do you know? Historically, a shield. What was the best way? The shield could get pierced by the arrow. So what do you do to the shield? You smear it with grease and fat. Yeah? This is what they used to do. They would smear their shields with grease and fat, whatever it is, so the arrows wouldn't hit, they would slide off. It says Masil Asisharim, that's called Leitzanus.
What? Wait, what? That Leitzanus was put in his fat or something?
The arrow is very serious, very dangerous, very important. And if that arrow hits, it's gonna change your life. Yeah? So what do? You put up a shield. And you smear it with oil. So that any arrow doesn't even pierce your shield, it just slides right off.
You're like it wasn't like there. It's like your joke, so it doesn't affect you.
Yeah. That's late on us. It doesn't impact. It doesn't make any sense, though. It doesn't make any sense. And that is called late on. That's why it's a little bit hard to translate. But late on means whenever there's a situation where there's something that should be taken seriously, and you make a joke out of it, someone makes a joke out of it, so it totally destroys the impact of the issue. And if it's supposed to have an impact, then that's terrible. Terrible. Yeah?
Yeah.
Late sonus. Late sonus. Like late son in modern Hebrew is a clown. Late sonus is, I don't know how to translate it into English, but
it's like to make something real and like turn it into a joke. Make it
real. Right? I don't think there's a word for it in English. But late sonus is to make a joke out of it so that it doesn't have an impact. So that's what he says, is that so let's make sure we're on the same page. So on the one hand, if it's an innocent joke that doesn't destroy anything valuable, beautiful. We're supposed to do that to make people happy and allow Avodas Hashem to be besimcha. That's what we're supposed to do. That is legitimate Torah comedy. On the other end of the spectrum, if a person utilizes Leitanus to destroy something valuable, like in that case where this boy, the class needs to be sensitive to him and needs to understand where he's coming from. And that needs to be taken seriously. So to make a joke out of that is leitzanus. It's terrible. It's terrible. Now, the thing is, what happens if you have something that really has no value? It's bad. Like avodah zarah. Like something that's really evil. But people think it's something important. So if you debate with them, you're going to lose. So that's where you're supposed to make a joke out of it. That's elyon of it. Yeah? Because it's a mechanism. Yeah? The dynamic, the mechanism of Leitzanus, it's not always bad. It depends on how it's used. If it's being used to destroy, it's terrible. Terrible. If it's being used because the thing itself is being accepted by people, and it can't be accepted by people because it's ridiculous, but you can't convince anybody, so then make Leitzanus out of it, and then make a joke out of it, and that at least it won't have an impact. And that's what we all know we did on our turn. Okay, so now, so he says, if goes into a person's heart, a thing, a word of leitanas, he's gonna lose. What's gonna fall out is some piece of Torah because of it. And in the future, the people that are considered to be the group of leitzim, that means that their essence is leitanas. They can't take anything seriously. They will not be able to receive the shechina in Yemos HaMashiach, Olam Haba, whatever exactly that's referring to. But leitzanas, and I mean, and in a certain sense, that's obvious because they can't take anything seriously. So how are they going to take the Ribbono Shel Olam seriously? They're not going to be able to be in the presence of Hashem. In fact, I don't know if I didn't read the piece yet. I don't know exactly what he's going to say, but a malek is considered to be the essence of leitzanas. The Torah is about to be given. Klal Yisrael are untouchable. What do I mean? Mitzrayim, the 10 plagues, Kriyas Yamsuf. You know, like, who's going to mess with these people? Are you out of your mind? But Amalek is the only one. No, we're attacking them. Did they win?
No.
No. And they ran away like a dog with its tail between its legs. But Chazal says, that they cooled off the world. What did they cool off? What do you mean?
I mean, like, they broke the ice.
So the Chazal's mashal is the bathtub. And there's this boiling hot bathtub. Nobody can get in. And one guy decides, you know, he's going to go in. And he does a little cannonball into the bathtub. What happens? He gets burnt. What's the consequence?
Or he gets a little bit cooler.
Law of conservation of energy. There's a transfer of energy. He gets burned with all that heat, which means by definition that it cools off the water. So for everybody else, it becomes cooler in their eyes. So Amalek, why did Amalek do that? Teretz is because they represent Leitanus. Torah is about to be given. That's the most serious arrow that there is. They can't exist if the Torah is given because they're Leitanus. So they have to attack and try to prevent it, even though it doesn't make any sense. It's not going to work. But Leitanus never works. I mean, it works. It can have, you know, has consequences.
You know, really,
but it's not a good kasha.
That was their plan. You thought that was like their plan?
That was
like
their essence of who they were, right? They had to. They
I'm
had
saying
to do it.
That's what we say like now. I'm saying like they're like a Amalek and they're Leitanus, blah, blah, blah. But I'm saying, do you think back then, like that's like what they were thinking? Like, yeah. Let's like break the ice and then someone else will like finish him off.
Yeah, if we allow these people to be successful, they're going to ruin the world. It's like exactly like Hitler. So then he quotes, "V'leitzanus achas delcha me'atochachos." One leitzanus, again, a real leitzanus. We're not talking about like a normal innocent joke over here. We're talking about leitzanus. Delcha me'atochachos can push aside 100 reproaches, 100 pieces of mussar. The only time it's allowed is leitanus of avodah zara. Like I was telling you, that's what he's referring to. Elio Navi and Har Carmel. Or for some other, you know, major need. But Amru, Kashiya Leitanas, the very difficult is Leitanas at Trilasa Yasirna Sefiklaya. Because the beginning of it is suffering, and in the end it's total destruction, total annihilation. The person just can't survive. They're not gonna be able to take anything seriously, and they're finished. Vayim Birushami Perikbeis de Brachis. Kama Maisim Narayim Shanshirachman Litzlan over Leitanas Achas Al Tamir Rachamim. There is a bunch of stories over there that really, you know, awesome stories, terrifying stories about punishments that happened. Hashem should save us from such things because of one leitzanus on that was directed towards the Talmud Chacham. Milvad ha'anashim agdolim la'asilavo, aside from whatever punishments are going to happen to such a person in the future. Va'amru, and they said, Zu darkam shel leitzim. This is the pathway of those who joke around like that. Va'tchila medabrim, in the beginning they speak, u'mislotzitzim al-chavireyam, and they make jokes out of their friends. And afterwards, it's people that are much greater than their friends. And then after that, it's their own Rebbeim and their parents, their fathers. Ultimately, they make fun of mitzvos. And it just gets worse and worse because these are the type of people that they enjoy it. They get a geschmack out of it. They think other people have them on a pedestal because of it. And, you know, and they're very funny. These people are very funny. You know, so everybody wants to listen to them and hear their jokes. And before you know it, Rachman Litzlan, it leads to rejection of the Ribbono Shel Olam entirely. If a person is you know, anticipating and he's making fun of people, what's going to happen in Mida Keneged Mida, that's what's going to happen to him. People are just going to make fun of him wherever he goes. Because that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu rules, that the Midos that we express ourselves through end up coming mirroring back at us, both in the positive and the negative. And ultimately, everybody's going to hate him if he's really a destroyer of values. Even his own wife and his children and his family. Actually, until his whole life just becomes, decrepit to him. He hates his own life. Kamosha, which I don't know if you see this, but you see this a lot. You know, these people that like are really serious, like sarcastic people. They're miserable. You know what I'm talking about? No, you don't repeat people like that. You only hang out with positive people. That's great. I've met some of these people. You know, all they do is make fun of things.
Like cynical.
Yeah, cynical about everything.
Cynical, like to a point.
They're like miserable people because all they see is negativity and like it's terrible. Moshe Amar Chazal, the Dvarim Yiduyim, everybody knows. The Ma'asim B'Chol Yom, and you can see it every day. V'afilu Amarim L'Panim Tzuhuos Sonim Oso B'Libam. And even people on the outside show them like a shining face. Because there are some people that just like to be nice, you know. But on the inside, they don't like these people either. Ki Dvarim Eilu Ein Adam Yachol L'Savlam. Because when people are just destroying valuable things, nobody can handle it. V'yeshiva Ha'echad Shehaya L'Tevet Kazu. In Yeshiva, there was a guy that had this type of nature. Kol Yom Avad Hayom. He's, until today, he's still like that. Yeshlod Saros, he has all kinds of troubles, and machlokos, and all kinds of fights with people. Everybody hates him, you know, inside and out. Even though that happens to be a big Talmud Chacham, he's just like a really annoying person. And to the contrary, and the opposite, if a person just loves people, he honors people, right? He always responds in a way that respects people. And even to people that are so to speak younger or lower than him in his knowledge or status or whatever it's going to be, if that's how a person responds to people in a pleasant way, just a kiddush Hashem, the Moshe Kasef or Rambam, the same Rambam over there, the opposite of all the negativity. Hakol Ohavim, so everybody loves such a person. Mechabdes, when they honor such a person, Kamosh Amrei Zemuchubar Mechabdes Abrios, who actually gets kavod, the person that gives kavod, because if a person gives kavod, he's going to get it back. But the people that are chasing after it. Losers. You know what I'm saying? No one wants to give these people covered because they're always saying like, you know what I did today? Let me tell you what I did. Can I tell you about myself? You know? And you're like, what kind of flex is that? You know? I didn't know that word until last year, by the way. But Iker Tzarekli Hisragel Hisponi. Sorry. But Iker Tzarekli Hisragel Hisponi and Mashem Edamer. And the essence is to accustoms oneself. The Hisragel, regulus is to like do things, it could be negative, like to do things by rote. Yeah? Regulus. Regulus isn't always a negative, right? To accustom yourself to doing things can be very, very positive, or it could be very negative. It just depends on what it is. The bad things.
Like a habit?
Yeah. But you can habituate yourself to good things. So a person should habituate themselves, the hisponin mash medabrim, to pay attention to what we're saying. Sounds like such a simple thing, right? Like, we don't always pay such close attention because, you know, we're used to speaking in a certain way and we always speak like the friends we're around and the way we grew up. And you know what I'm saying, right? What? Orchos Yosher from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I posted it on the chat if you want to follow along with the PDF. It's in Hebrew, but if you want to get a copy, Archibald has even Pakistan, I think. So a person should always get accustomed to what they're saying.
For
112, it's like it says in this tractate, a short one of the small tractates called Derech Eretz. Have Adonis Devarecha, you should judge your words, before they've come out of your mouth, which is, you know, a very hard thing to do.
Definitely.
But that's what he means by get used to it, because it's a type of thing that requires a lot of accustoming ourselves to do, right? That's not normal. Not typical, but so it's hard, but okay, but it's a thing to try to get to do. But Amru, Mila Basela, Mishtug Betrain. A word for one Sela, silence for two. What's worth more? A word or silence? Well, sometimes it depends, but sometimes, you know, a word may be worth a dollar, but silence can be worth $2. And some things should not be said, and we better if they're not.
Isn't it sometimes like, people are like silent in certain situations.
Right, it doesn't apply to every situation.
They agree with what's going on. It
does not apply to every situation. But if a person feels like they're going to say something negative and they think they may gain something out of this statement of negativity, it might actually be double as valuable to stay silent. But you're right. If, you know, sometimes we have to stand up for things, that's a different story. But if we want to say something, we have to figure out if it's a good idea or a bad idea, if it's really what we should be said or what shouldn't be said, you know. Let's be honest, most of the things we say, we don't think so quickly about what we're saying. We just kind of say things, and there are a lot of people out there that take pride in the fact that they have no filter. That's not something to take pride in that room. That's bad. I have no filter, so then don't talk, okay? Yeah, okay, anyway. Moving on. Rashkasa. Ay, ay, ay. You should be faster to spend money than spend your words.
Really
Wow. It's usur. It's forbidden for the mouth to be hefker. How do you translate hefker in this context?
For anything.
Yeah, just out of control. It does no filter. It's usur not that to have to say, I have no filter and act like that. Yeah, to make your mouth hefker. It can't be. If a person has no stopping to his spirit, there's no way to stop what's going on over there, and his mouth is just pouring out words like the garbage without any understanding or examination about what's going on over there. Ain safek, there is no doubt. For sure, such a person is saying all kinds of forbidden speech. Lashon hara and rechilus and insulting people and all kinds of terrible things. Shall kol teva yesh aveira, because each word that a person speaks like that, there's going to be a sin. Kamosha kasav agra, like the Vilna Gaon said, and he doesn't say what he said, but he quotes in the parentheses where it is. V'lifamim nichshal v'halbanas panim, and there are going to be times when he's even going to make a mistake and embarrass somebody, v'mechan shame, and maybe use a derogatory nickname, Donald Trump. Sha'amru chazal. Anyone catching my jokes? Even if a person has in his hands mitzvos and maisim tovim, a person could chas v'shalom lose their olam haba for embarrassing somebody in public, for taking away. In other words, the basic idea is like this: what happens when you kill someone? They're dead and they cannot act. They're dead. If a person is really humiliated, what happens? They become so self-absorbed that they can't even respond. They can't do anything. They're dead for them for the moment. It's a type of killing someone. It's a type of killing someone. That's why Chazal are so severe when it comes to embarrassing somebody in public. The Chazal say that if a person embarrasses somebody in public, they lose their share in Olam Haba.
Can you get it back?
Theoretically, you have to do tshuva, ask for atonement. You have to ask them for mechila, and
Might be in trouble. I might be in trouble.
you have to make sure to such a person to ask them for mechila and make sure to fix the relationship. But the Dashi is saying it. So to this idea of Machane Shame, when he refers to Machane Shame, that's a derogatory nickname, which is why I said under my breath Donald Trump. In other words, there's a certain mahalakh out there where if I don't agree with somebody, I'll just make fun of them. That's Leizonis. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Also called platform is Leizonis.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Not only does he just have to, it's like his political strategy to put on this.
Yeah.
Because he knows it works.
Yeah, most of
how it worked, though.
It is.
Yeah, it works.
It's crazy, right? That's exactly what we're talking about. Shamru Chazal. Oh, he said that already. Okay. In the bracket. Ella im kein, if I is his chavirim chalo. He says right here, yeah? Unless he appeases his friend and he gets his forgiveness. Yeah?
All right, I'm chilling now.
Because he was worried about what you just said. He knew what you were thinking. Another Chazal says, "Shim kol adam holchem malachim reshmen kol dibur v'dibur." That when a person is, walking around, so the angels are writing down every single word that he says. So, we're all being recorded. We're all being recorded. And because of that, in the future, we're going to have to give what's called a din and a cheshbon. It was an accounting for it. It was Sefer Chasidim. Sefer Chasidim was a sefer written by Rita Levi from the Chasidei Ashkenaz. That's an old, old, old sefer. That when a person's born, you ready for this? It's written down how many words he's going to get in his life. Terrifying. Terrifying. And afterwards, they're counting every word. If, how did he use those words, the only amount of words that he was allotted in his lifetime, how were they used? And Chazal say, that even what's considered a sicha kala, private conversations between a husband and wife that hopefully were not inappropriate. So they are told to a person at a time of judgment, those things too. The Chumash from the Chazal, Kol Ha'anashim Shehizkiru, all of the punishments mentioned, Bublishim Guzma Chas V'Shalom, are always stated without any exaggeration, V'mukharach Lehizkayim, and they have to come true, Im Lo Shav B'Tshuva, if a person doesn't do tshuva for them. As Mamish, just a few minutes ago on my way here, so I was listening to one of the Daf Yomi Shurim that I like to listen to, and he was pointing out that there are certain Svarim, even a Talmud actually, Rav Chaim wrote a Sefer, about what he called the Teva Ruchni, the spiritual nature. And the point of the whole Sefer is to show that it's not pshat that whenever Chazal say this is what's going to happen if a person does X, Y, and Z, it's not pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, smite, and pushes, that's a Far Side comic, right? And pushes the button. It's a dynamic. Just like if a person eats something too hot, they get burned. So too, in the spiritual world, if a person does a certain thing, it just has an automatic consequence. It's just the way the spiritual world works. It's a teva. It's a dynamic. It's a nature. So that's what Chaim is pointing out, is that these things are not exaggerations. And Chazal say this is the way it goes. That's just the way it goes, because that's the dynamic. If a person doesn't believe these things to be true, who kofir b'chol ha-Torah kula, is actually denying the Torah, the entire Torah. And a person like that doesn't have a portion in Klal Yisrael. If a person says, what are you talking about? Chazal are just exaggerating. It's not, it's mamash, it's honest. It doesn't really mean it. It's a, it just means it's not, it's bad. Yeah, you shouldn't do it. But, there are no consequences. Really, look, I didn't get struck by lightning today. Zaf. In the introduction of the Vilna Gaon to Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim, Muva Bishmo, which brought in his name, Shomar Shal Kol Mash Amr Chacham Mechayev Lasoso, that whenever Chazal say that a person is chayav to do a certain, he's obligated to do a certain thing, Tzarech Lekaimo Ad Pikuach Nefesh. So he has to do such a thing, even to, even if it means like risking his life. I don't know, what's he referring to? Is there anything on the notes here? Yeah, I don't know. I'd like an example of that. Did he say one? Gam kasa shema grazal should call mash and nifsak v'shulchan aruch yishchi of gomor. Whatever it says in shulchan aruch, there is a complete obligation. I'll call echad mishal lekaimu and every Jew to fulfill it. Mishena makaimu nikra avaryon. If a person doesn't fulfill a halacha that it says in shulchan aruch, he is called a transgressor. V'mezalzel b'zeh tamid. If a person is constantly just cheapening it and saying that it really doesn't matter, it's not really important. Ain't no chash lekaimu. He isn't. He's not concerned to fulfill it. Who bechlal masham rabbavos Rabbi Nasan. He's included in the following rule, Kola Omer Ein Halacha Zu, Ein L'Chayak Olam Habah, that this is not really Halacha, it's not true, whatever, it doesn't come from Hashem, so the person loses his share in Olam Habah. Nikra Mumar, L'Davar Echad Rechon L'Tzan, he's called a Mumar in a specific regard. What is it, a Mumar in a specific regard? So a Mumar is a person that has like rejected an entire mitzvah. So he's not even trusted the Gabe, that mitzvah. So you have a person that eats treif. So he can't be trusted to be mashgiach. He can't trust him that his stuff that he cooks is kosher. You can't trust him because he's not makbid on kashrus. So if a person makes fun and constantly says that's not a halacha, it's not important, so you can't trust him at all in that regard. In that area, they're a mumar. It means that they're just totally invalidated in that particular area. Because of Rabbeinu Yonah, so this is the gambling. The kubya is a dice, So if a person... This is what they do. I don't know who this would possibly refer to, but imagine such a thing that you have these people and they get together, every single night we get together. All we do is drink beer and make fun of every single thing we possibly could. There must be somebody like that in this world, right? Their chevra just gets together and they have a beer and they make fun of their teachers and their parents and their families and America and they make fun of everything. Yeah. Every night that's what we do to relax. Yeah. You want the ratchet people like that, people like that, they get together. What? For schok and kubia and dvarim betalim and just push it nonsense. Vizel lishono. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that that is, to me, in my opinion, says Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the Rishonim, so that's more difficult, more challenging for a person to overcome than all of the violating all the averis. Because all the other averis in the world, if a person, from time to time, violates, so it's because there's a momentary, stupidity. Because I'll say that a person doesn't do an avera, until some idiocy, some stupidity, fell into his That's the way the Eitar works sometimes, you know? We don't want to do Averis. Nobody wants to do Averis. Everyone wants to be a good person and an Oved Hashem and be close to Hashem. That's what we really want. It's just that we have all of these, like, stupid taivas and stupid things. And then when we, like, back into our normal minds, we're like, idiot, you know? But that's the way it is. So, okay. So, Pitta, there's a the Yetzer was tempted him, you know, suddenly. In actual kolchas, a person like that, like his punishment's not so terrible because it's just a momentary stupidity. So we do tshuva for that, you know, about that. But these types of people, that just with they mean to do it. It's not like a momentary taiva. It's not a stupidity. It's just they've decided that they're going to hang out for an hour or two and just do this. Sometimes it lasts the whole day. Well, yiskar Hashem kenegdo. So Hashem, you know, Hashem is mentioned, is not opposite them. He's nothing to do with them. And a person like that doesn't say in his heart, wait, you know, who's watching over here? Who are we doing this in front of? Who are we standing in front of and angering? They have no shame out of the greatness of Hashem. They're not afraid of Hashem's din, his judgment. They're violating the prohibition of be careful that you're not forgetting a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You can't forget a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They're forgetting a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Nonetheless, they stand and they joke around. They are purposefully mevaze es Hashem, denigrating a Kaddish Baruch Hu, ves Teiraso and his Torah, sheyomer belibo, because he says in his heart, ain't a Kaddish Baruch Hu ma'anish l'kas leitim, because obviously the Kaddish Baruch Hu isn't going to punish us. I mean, we're sitting around and we joke all day. It's all we do. And we didn't get struck by lightning. He's denying what Chazal say. He's mamish, one of these people that rejects the Torah Shabbat. Ad kanosh Rabbeinu Yonah. That is a quote from Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? That's the famous sefer, you know, Shari Tshuva, that he wrote a whole book about how to do tshuva. Upashit to who? Then we're almost at the end of the piece. It's obvious that that's the same application the halacha applies. Kol kiyotze b'zeh, to anything that's similar to it. Kol shein muchan l'kabel olav. If a person is not ready to accept, filo mitzvah achas, halacha achas, some mitzvah, some halacha, rebbe chal kofar b'torah. So he's in effect denying that particular issue. Shein mamin shakirish v'chatziv alachazu. Because he's saying, yeah, no, that's not real. Hashem didn't command that. V'zem b'vur b'v'chayres l'inyan ger. Shein reitz l'kabel olav. Filo digo gecha midibdei sofrim. You have a person that's converting, and he doesn't want to accept upon himself some detail that's clearly a halacha. Ain makablin also. We say, you know, goodbye, good luck. We're not interested in you. I ain't shown. Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva. So his point is that, like, you know, if the Jews aren't like that, then why would we not accept a ger like that? The Teretz is because the Jews are supposed to be like that. That if you don't want to be a regular Jew because you're not wanting to accept, you know, some details, some halacha, so that's what he's saying. That's expected from every single Jew. If the slave says to his master, I'm going to do whatever you say, but not if you tell me that. What kind of slave is that? You do what you're told. This is like another, you know, like footnote over here, like another issue, which is in the very beginning of Pirkei Avos, we're told we're supposed to be like an Eved in front of Hashem. That's like a big thing. For example, talking to some guys on Shabbos about this, there's a whole area of Torah called Tameh HaMitzvos. Tameh means the reason for mitzvos, right? And I think it's safe to say that every single one of us, when we connect to a mitzvah because we feel we understand it, we value it, and we appreciate it, we do the mitzvah better. No? Fair statement? Yeah. So Beis HaLevi, or Soloveitchik is named after the Beis HaLevi, his great-grandfather, the Beis HaLevi writes that Tameh HaMitzvos, to understand the reasons for mitzvos, is just part of learning. It's a part of Talmud Torah. Right? What are you trying to say? He's trying to say something that this is a little difficult, but this is what he means, that it's actually a negative if we do mitzvahs better because we feel we connect with them. Well, why should that be a negative? Again, on our level, you're doing it because of you, not because of Hashem. No, okay, we're not going to give ourselves a hard time for that because that's probably where we should be. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But understand that, like, but there's a certain negativity there because really we're supposed to try to strive to be avadim of Hashem. So if the master said so, I do what Hashem said. Okay. Wow. It's not so realistic for us, and that's okay. Yeah, it's okay. We need to try to find, you know, the reason and to feel it, and we should do that. I'm not trying to say opposite. Just saying that that point is well taken, though. That we are, it's still coming from us, and we need to aim higher ultimately and try to get higher. Okay, so he finishes by saying, when a person is careful about everything Chazal says, there is no greater kavod shamayim than to accept what Chazal say, because they're only saying what Hashem said. If a person gives honor to the Torah, so even his physical body is going to end up having honor. And the whole kavod haTorah, what does it mean to give kavod to the Torah? So we think kavod to the Torah is to buy a very nice cover for the Torah scroll and to make sure the shul is very beautiful, and that's all true. But that could be very superficial. And maybe just because you're rich, so you're giving a lot of money, which is nice. But we don't know what real kavod haTorah is. Real kavod haTorah is expressed when a person does whatever it says and loves it and wants to fulfill every single detail. Ad kan lashano, that's the end of the quote from Rabbeinu Yonah. So, you know, he kind of did two things here from beginning to end. I don't know if you noticed. Yeah. So what he did over here was he said that Leitzanus is devaluing things through making fun of it. The opposite is to really seriously give it kavod. Those are the opposites. To give something incredible kavod is the exact opposite of Leitzanus, because it's building it up. And Leitzanus is a way of destroying it and bringing it down. So they're actually opposite. So that's why he finishes in this way. So if you want to know what the antidote is to Leitzanus, is to figure out what's valuable about what's happening right now and give it the proper respect. Because when you do that, you cease to be a Leitz and you begin to be a person that takes lots and lots of things seriously, because you see the value in each one, every one of those things. You want to hear some stories? Only a couple of pages. It says like this. At a family shever brachas, a badchan in the yeshivish world is like a clown. So they hire these people for weddings and, I don't know, bar mitzvah, whatever. And the person comes and he makes jokes and he performs, I don't know, he's called a badchan. So at a family shever brachas, a badchan entertained the guests until they were all rolling with laughter. Rav Chaim held himself back until, apparently, it was hard for him to restrain himself from laughing. At that point, he got up and went home. When asked why he was so sensitive about anything that, when asked why, it's supposed to be a comma there, he was so sensitive about anything that carries a hint of Leitzanus, Rav Chaim said that one episode of Leitzanus pushes away the impact of 100 rebukes. There is a great human drive to engage in this kind of mocking levity. Leitzanus takes a simple thing and uses it inappropriately. Rav Chaim presented the story of Garner Rekiv Eger, who refused to conclude a shidduch with a person who made a joke about a halacha. Okay, so two things. Number one, Rav Chaim used to make very clever jokes. Yeah, no question about it. He had all these witty one-liners, and he had an awesome smile. So you should never think that, like, he didn't laugh or something like that. They say about Rav Chanan Wasserman that he smiled 3 times in his life. Yeah, so that's not who we're talking about over here. And they have a list of the 3 times. But Rav Chaim was a very happy person, a very jovial person. But to sit there in front of a comedian for an extended period of time, that he didn't want to do. So I heard this story that Rabbi Kiva Eger was making a shidduch for, I think, his daughter with, you know, another guy's son. And they were sat down together to, you know, to sign the stuff. They used to do that back then, you know, but it's not in the conditions. And nowadays we do it like at the wedding. And the father of the chassan, like, said something. He asked like a joking question. He asked something else like a joke. And he looked at him like, what? He's like, no, I'm kidding. So he doesn't forget it. And he went home and he said, you're not marrying that boy. Now that's like intense. That's like, but he was like the gadol hador, you know. So he didn't want to have like any connection to that. He was the gadol hador. That's not Rav Chaim. That's Rav Kiva Eger. That's generations ago. Rav Chaim related that a certain yeshiva bacher repeatedly turned down all suggestions that he received regarding a shidduch for himself, finding some sort of fault with each one. One day, the Chazon Ish sent a man to the bacher to suggest a shidduch with a girl who had serious problems. The messenger told the Chazon Ish that he was embarrassed to bring this proposal to the Bachar, as the latter would undoubtedly become highly insulted. He's rejected everyone else. Now we're going to give her this girl? The Chazon Ish, however, pressed him to go, saying, make the suggestion and tell him that I sent you. Immediately after the suggestion was made, the Bachar became engaged to a different girl. The Chazon Ish believed that the Bachar's behavior had stemmed from pride. By offering such a shidduch, right, this woman that was clearly not for him, He felt that Bachar would finally make up his mind to accept a serious suggestion. Like, oh boy, if they're sending me these people, it must mean that I better change what I'm doing. Shiduchim are from Hashem. Someone once asked Rukhayim about the pasuk from Hashem, a woman for a man. May Hashem isha l'ish. What does this teach us that we didn't already know? After all, everything is from Hashem. So of course, a wife is from Hashem. Rukhayim replied, even though there is free will in this world, Chazal teach that Shiduchim come from Hashem, and it is useless to do anything to try to change one's ordained match. They say in the name of the stipler, that was Rukhayim's father, that although a match is announced 40 days before a baby is born or conceived, this only indicates what is supposed to be. It's possible that a person may choose to marry someone else. They say in the stipler's name as well, though this has not been confirmed, that a person's ordained shidduch will certainly come to him regardless. Perhaps he rejected it because of his own bad character and empty reasons, and she married someone else. Later, he will either become divorced or widowed and will marry her. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about in these topics. Measure for measure. Rechaim spoke of a bachur who met a girl and then arranged to meet her a second time. In the interim, a second shidduch was suggested for him that seemed better than the first girl that he already scheduled his second date with. He canceled his date with the first girl and agreed to meet the second. Later, he came to Rechaim to ask if he had done the right thing. I told him, said Rechaim, that he had behaved improperly. After agreeing to meet the first girl again, should have done so. You made a commitment. Well, Hashem paid me back immediately, the Bachur admitted. After I arranged to meet the second girl, the Shadchan called to tell me that she was canceling the date. What I did was done to me. Mita, can I get Mita? A person's words are numbered, right? He quoted this idea from Yura Levi. During the time he learned in Yeshiva's Lums, Ruchaim became close to the Mashkiach Ruelio Dushinser. Once, when asked to answer a question regarding the Rebbe Talmud relationship, Rechaim expounded as follows. I learned in Petach Tikva, in Eretz Yisrael, where the Mashkiach was Rebbe Leo Dushinser. When he sat in a corner and learned, the whole yeshiva learned well. And when he went away, they didn't learn as well as before. That's the way it is in every place that has a great person. The learning becomes different. The idea itself gives so much. Every year, the Mashkiach would deliver words of Chizuk before shofar blowing. Rechaim said on another occasion, one year, he quoted Chazal that a person's words are set and measured at the time of his life. When a person exceeds the number of words he was allotted, he loses his power of speech. Rabbi Elio added that this does not apply to words of Torah. In that area, more speech is praiseworthy. I believe he added that as his own thought, as Chazal do not mention it. Chazal also taught that a person's footsteps are allotted to him in advance as well. And finally, beware of what you say. A man walked the streets lost in thought. Again and again, he heard the echo of the terrible words that his friend had spoken to him the day before. How, he wondered in anguish, did he dare open his mouth against the Gadol Hador, Rav Steinman? Why have his eyes not ceased to see? Isn't he afraid of the punishment that waits for those who degrade Talmid Chachamim? Suddenly, he stood still, thunderstruck. A sign was plastered on the wall in front of him, announcing a death. In thick black letters, it announced a name that was painfully familiar to him. It was the very friend who had spoken with him the day before. Shaken to the core, the fellow made his way to Rechaim's house. As he went, he tried to impose order on his churning thoughts. Is it possible that my friend's tragic death came about as a punishment for what he said yesterday? He asked Rechaim. Certainly, Rechaim nodded. It's entirely possible this is a punishment for heaven for degrading a Talmud Chacham. Be cautious of their glowing coal so that you do not become burnt. You know, he quoted from Chazal. So like, okay. How do we leave on that story? recently I was reading a story about what's his name? His name is escaping me. But it was a whole situation where there's a fellow who's like a very rich guy. And so he was an Eretz Yisrael, and he went to visit a certain Rosh Yeshiva, and he gave money to Yeshiva like all the time. So Rosh Yeshiva said, listen, you're here. You know, why don't you give me your check now, you know? So the guy said, Rabbi, I'm planning to, but I want to do it after I get back home to America. So he's like, why would you do that? You know, he's like, you should do it now. And the Rosh Yeshiva said, I don't know, for some reason I felt like it was important that like you just get this out of the way, you know? Like, he gives me all the time. And, or for some reason. Anyway, apparently the guy went home, and I don't know, some tragedy happened, like in his family, and then this brother, Rosh Hashiva, said, I just felt terrible because I felt like afterwards when I found that out, sucker tattoo my mother, so if he had given that sucker, who knows what it could have like prevented, you know? So these scary stories like come up from time to time. They're like terrifying. We don't always see things. On a positive note, so we have the capacity to give value to things. We're supposed to give value to things. And especially Elul, Shana's coming. It's a good thing to try to focus on a little bit, is what can we do to try and create a value where sometimes there's really not. I think we can all agree that we live in a world that doesn't have a lot of respect for a lot of things. Is that fair?
Yeah.
It's a problem. It's a problem. And so, we don't want to be weirdos. We have to make sure that we fit into society, but we also need to try to give respect ourselves, other people. A fascinating thing, it started whenever people talk about like hats and jackets, like in the Jewish world, So there was a time when that was like what everybody did. You know what didn't really, really change? Basically, JFK. Because he became the president. He was the first president ever not to wear a hat. Ever. Yeah, wigs and hats and formal dress. Abraham Lincoln with his top hat, But the point is, because it was a formality, it was just a way to like carry yourself. And starting at that, and then Woodstock, and like there's a big shift in like, no, we chill. We chill, we chill. And until now, like, who wants to wear a suit? And like there, whatever. Anyway, that's where we're holding. All right, I don't want to keep you longer.